we always talk about the Giants schedule. You know, looking at the Jets, it's better than what the Giants have on paper.
That's what they're saying about Miami. That's what they're saying about New England. And that's what they're saying about Buffalo. That's why Buffalo probably has a pretty high win total.
Because you got the NFC South in there. That's why. And you get teams like, they're playing the Browns.
They're playing the Saints. They're playing the Saints in Week 16. That's a game that, you know, who's playing quarterback for New Orleans at that time?
That might be a fight for the number one overall pick right there. Honestly, that might be a fight. I think
then the Jets are going to win it.
Because they'll never, because they won't get the number one overall pick. Yeah.
Well, I can tell you one thing. If they do get the number one pick, there's one thing for sure.
Arch Manning's not coming. Of course. Yep. No way, no how. Sorry, try again next year.
Yeah, I wish that wouldn't be the case, but unfortunately it seems like if that were the case, that would be the case.
I think the Jets are, they're like a 3-win team.
Really?
I really do. I think that their offense is going to be bottom three in the league.
I have to tell you, week one is fascinating to me. Fascinating. With Aaron
Steelers?
Rodgers coming into town.
Yeah.
Hopefully he makes it through the game.
You know he will. I mean, he'll probably run, he'll have a 99-yard touchdown run, you know? Blowing everybody by.
Wow.
Yeah. I think that their offense is going to be a pure atrocity. And the reasons why I think are clear. Mm-hmm. I think they have a guy who can't throw the football. I think they have one good wide receiver who can, play with bad quarterbacks. He's proven that and be productive. And they've got a rookie offensive coordinator who's never done it before and a defensive head coach. Rookie defensive head coach. And really nobody on that offense. Like, they've got Steve Wilks on the defensive staff. Is there anybody on the offensive staff like that who's had experience? You know, I'm not so sure. So, I think they're going to they are going to be in third and seven every single drive and then have Justin Fields throw the ball into the ground.
Well,
that's what we're going to see.
I don't know if we'll see it. That I don't think it's going to be that bad, but I think we'll see a lot of bootlegs. We're going to see some RPO stuff for him, and they're going to try to build around his skill set, and that's what they should do.
Yeah,
and it's not dropping back 40 times and reading defenses without moving him around and helping him out. And that's really what the coach's job is to do. So this is who they felt like, let's sign him. Let's get him in camp. Let's work with him from the beginning because he's been here since, I feel like he's been here since Aaron Glenn has been here and Tanner Engstrom have been here. So they've had ample amount of time at least to assess what he's capable of.
Yeah, I'll give you, we're talking about over-unders with the Jets and the Giants. I'll give you a combined over-under number with these two.
All right, so what is the combined number right now?
I think it's, if you put the, what is it, it's both five, it's I guess 11 because it's 5.5, 5.5.
Yep.
I'll my over-under line that I'm going to give you combined, 8.5.
So 6 for the Giants and 2 for the Jets.
I was thinking 5 and 3.
Yeah, I think the Giants could be better than that.
Yeah, I know. I know you do. I know other people do.
I just feel like there's an infusion of youth. There's going to be a competitive desire. You know, watching your defense the last couple of games, I know it's only preseason, but just watching them fly around, I just feel like there's a different vibe around the team. And I think a lot of that has to do, obviously, with the quarterback position and Abdul Carter, but it's if Andrew Thomas and Malik Nabers are healthy and they're ready to rock and roll, they got some of the best players, Dexter Lawrence. I think Brian Burns is a hell of a player. They got some really top-end players. And hopefully the coaching staff is going to bring the competitive nature out in this roster as opposed to the last 2 years watching this thing fall apart by midseason because of injuries and, I think, lack of confidence.
Yeah, I can see Giants 6. If it's going to go over, I can see Giants 6, Jets 3. I have a tough time getting the Jets to 4 wins. I really do. Al, over under combined wins, Jets and Giants, 8.5.
I'm going to say over because I think 9.
9.
I just think they're going to win. They're going to win somewhere along the line, each team. We won 3 games somehow. I have no idea how we won those games. We even lost to the expansion Panthers that year. And we still won 3 games. And that was in a 16-game season. Somehow they're going to win 4 or 5 games.
I don't know, man.
Somebody will come in and somebody will be beat up or hurt or somebody's not playing.
So four or five, I mean, it's not really
let's just
pumping
say,
you up.
Know, Patrick Mahomes pulls a hamstring in week two and then all of a sudden Kansas City comes to New York and you're playing the Chiefs without Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean...
That could happen.
I mean, the Jets could have any number of injuries as well and make them even worse than they are, so...
I'm talking about the Giants in that regard.
Well, I'm talking... But still, the Giants... They could win, like the ceiling there for me is six.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like there's something going on over there at the Giants. I just feel like there's.
How many times have we done this though? With the Giants,
but I haven't felt this way about the Giants the last couple of years, and maybe it's just because it's the quarterback situation or something else. But I just feel like there's something pushing the Giants to be more competitive, more have more desire on the field, have more confidence. You know. Talking to Dexter Lawrence, I love that kid.
Well, yeah, he's one of my favorite players in the NFL. I love him. I've always talked about that. I mean, I mentioned that, but he's been great for years now on bad teams. I'm not worried about him.
But just talking to him and listening to him talk about Abdul Carter and Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau. I mean, like I think they're a team trending upward, depending on what the quarterback does.
Yeah, I mean they won three games last year, so it'll be tough to not trend upward from three. So, bar is low.
I'm not saying it isn't low. And then, obviously, the coach, the GM, they're all sitting on hot seats. And depending on what the owner decides to do and, you know how invested John Mara is.
Oh, of course. I mean, that's not a question. It's been tough. This stretch here has been very, very difficult. They got those two Super Bowls, and those were amazing runs and memorable moments, not just in Giants history and NFL history, but, you know, last number of years have been very difficult, going through coach after coach after coach, miserable season. Last year might have been the worst out of all of them. 100th season, three wins.
But to the credit of Mr. Mara, he knew that there were extenuating circumstances. He knew that there were injuries. He knew that the team was not ready. And unfortunately for Daniel Jones and guys like Evan Neal, they did not live up to their draft status.
Yeah. Let's go to Scott and Somers. What's going on, Scott?
Hey, guys. How's it going this morning?
Good, Scotty. What's happening?
Hey, Booms. Just a little call out is I have a son that's 2.5, and his, my father-in-law, we also called him Boompa because our other, my nephew started calling him Boompa, so you're not the only one out there.
All right.
But on the other hand is, there you go.
Thanks to Danny.
Last night was, I watched the Giant game. And it was the first time in a long time that I actually took enjoyment watching a Giant game. Everybody flying around, Russell Wilson, like everybody's just hopping up and down, and it was great to see it. So I have faith this year, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, it's the preseason, and that's a good thing. I'm not gonna rain on your preseason parade, but let's see what happens after the first couple of weeks. And if they split those first two games, I think you got a little bit of juice heading into games 3 and 4. If they lose the first two, it's going to be a long season. I mean, I really do believe that. It's just you got to be able to win one of those two division games. If you win both, my God, we'll be flying high going crazy.
You know how Aaron Glenn is talking about the penalty problems the Jets had last year? That's the first thing that he wants to correct. You know, he doesn't want to be the most penalized team in the league. Those things kill you. The negative things kill you. For the Giants, you know, I'm telling you what it is. It's turnovers. And it's the lack of forcing turnovers. And if that stat in itself just flips, then they'll be a much more competitive team. And again, I go back to Russell Wilson. He's not a guy who turns the ball over a lot. He plays a cautious brand of football. I know that. It's not what he used to be. And I think he's basically an experienced guy that's trying not to give the game away. And that might drive coaches crazy. Some coaches, you know, they'll tell you, and I think as I did the Parcells birthday, so happy birthday to Bill Parcells today. You know, Phil Simms would tell a story a million times about how Parcells, if you don't go out there and throw two interceptions today, you're not trying. You know, go out there and let it go. And I think sometimes coaches want to see that. Like, it's one of the things I think that was what happened to Alex Smith in Kansas City. When they would go to the playoffs, they had a good team, and he'd have a good year. they meet the Steelers in the playoffs and there were guys running down the sideline and he just wouldn't pull the trigger for whatever reason. Mm. And it forced them to draft a quarterback, and that quarterback just happened to be Patrick Mahomes, who will throw it all over the field. Sometimes, you know, carelessly, but he's Patrick Mahomes and he knows what he's doing, so you kind of let him fly a little bit.
Team offense on Saturday night, and the best way I could describe it, Tiki, you don't strike me as a video game player. I assume you didn't play video games.
I used to, but I haven't in a really long time.
Okay, have you played Madden before in your life?
Oh, yeah, because my kids played Madden. I had to play it with them, and they just wanted to kick my butt.
They ran up the score on you?
Of course.
Well, I'm glad you said it that way, because when I watched the Jets' first team offense, and they kept running the ball, it made me think of playing Madden when you're, like, decent at Madden, but you're playing somebody that's like really, really, really good, and you just don't want to get smoked and embarrassed. So you just run the ball, run the clock. Like, I was like waiting for something to happen other than run. And I know they probably don't want to tip all their hands and it's vanilla, but I'm watching this Jet offense and I think the Jets are going to be pretty good here. I could see them surprising some people. I could absolutely see them beating the Steelers in week one. But I'm watching this first team offense and I'm like, all right, at some point here, like, we think of the Lions that run the ball a lot, but then they go play action with Goff and they get big plays. Do the Jets have that in the toolbox to get big plays down the field off these runs?
It must be something that they're going to install later or start executing later, because you're right. I mean, the best, Adrian Martinez and Brady Cook look the best at quarterback.
I agree with you.
That throwing the ball down the field and making plays. Justin Fields is either reluctant or not calling the plays, or it doesn't feel like he wants to or can. Now, maybe that's intentional. I'm going to assume it's intentional. But most of their success has been in the run game. And I know, talking about this after the game and the post game with Schmelk, it was the one thing, if you were the Giants coaches, that you were probably going to be upset about is how well the Jets ran the ball, right? They just kind of at will moved the ball up and down the field. I think they rushed for over 100 yards in the game. And so, like, the run game we know is going to be important. And I think it's even going to get more important once they put the QB run stuff in. Mm. So, like, QB sweep or options or zone reads or QB power, all that stuff. That's when this Jet offense can really, you know, fulfill the run potential. But the pass game stuff looks bad, like really bad.
Yeah, we gave Sean a hard time last week when he was doing one of his Cincos, and he said, I think it's abundantly clear that the Jets can't throw the ball down the field, and we gave him a hard time.
Right.
Only because when you say that in, you know, August in a preseason, that something is abundantly clear, it's a little bit of an overstatement.
Yeah, because we haven't even seen it yet.
Right. We haven't gotten to the regular season yet.
I think you said that before we had even seen a preseason game.
It was definitely before Saturday.
Right.
So it might have been like a couple drives against the Packers where he runs for a touchdown and stuff that he has either seen on video from camp or stuff that he's being fed, which is, look, yeah, but they're standing around in their underwear throwing the ball around. It is what it is. The Jets are absolutely going to be a smash-mouth football team. I think that takes on the identity of their head coach. Right. They want to run the ball. They want to punch you in the mouth. And Fields at quarterback, you know, lends to that because he is more of a runner than he is a thrower. That being said, at some point, he's going to have to let it loose and unleash this passing game a little bit, especially when you have Garrett Wilson. You want to get plays down the field. And if you run, at some point, defenses are going to go, you know what? We're not going to let the run game beat us.
Right.
Beat us with the pass. And right now, it doesn't look good. Doesn't mean it won't look good, you know, come regular season or midway through. But right now, right this second, from the little sample size, it's just like, whoa.
Yeah. No, the only completion he had, which was for 4 yards, in fact, his rush was longer than his completion. He ran for 5 yards. It was a drop-off to the tight end because he couldn't find anywhere else to go with the ball. So he just, and I think that was his first pass. He just dropped it off to the tight end. After that, some of it was good defense. Like, he had a shallow dig that was coming, and Cordell Flott just made a good play on it. The first throw to the sideline, he tried to get it to Garrett Wilson, but Paulson and Debo also made a good play on it, even though it was a bad behind the wide receiver ball. But they have to prove to us, and we might not see it in the preseason, but the Jets have to prove to us that they can throw the ball. Because right now, if I was game planning week one, against the Jets, I would say we don't have to worry about them beating us with their quarterback's arm.
Right.
It just doesn't – I haven't seen anything to it. You could say all you want about Russell Wilson, but you know what we saw Russell Wilson do? Throwing 62-yard bomb. It was an 80-yard play, just like you've seen him do for the last 10 years of his career. So you might think that Russell Wilson's getting old. He can still throw bombs, right? And so what can Justin Fields do? We have no idea because we haven't seen him do much of anything in these first couple of preseason games except for use his legs and scramble and make big plays that way.
Yeah, and so if you're Mike Tomlin, you're getting ready for week one. And look, I think the Steelers are going to have their own problems on offense.
I agree.
With Rodgers, with Metcalf. That being said, they're... And I think Hayward is holding out right now, so he's not in. Yeah, so that's a big part of their team that's not there. But this is the Steelers are always known for their defense, and they bring it, and defense travels. The Jets are going to have at least a couple of wrinkles in week one to offset a really good defense. And right now, it just doesn't look like it's in their toolbox, in their arsenal. And that's what it is. I think that their identity is running the ball.
Right.
But even teams that run the ball a lot, there has to be the threat of throwing the ball down the field. And I don't even feel like there's a threat. Like,
no.
I wouldn't be one sleepless night worrying about Justin Fields beating me down the field.
Yeah. I mean,
with his arm.
And when you talk about the defense, so I think a lot of that defense is still reputation from the last couple of years. They have a lot to prove. Because they've had changes in the secondary. Andre Sisco, who got beat for that big play, that Russell Wilson deep ball, he's new. Coming in from Jacksonville, he didn't have a great couple years down there in Jacksonville. Sauce Gardner's got that calf injury. Now, hopefully it's nothing, and by 3 weeks from now when the regular season starts, it's not an issue, but you got the Sauce Gardner health question mark. You got Brandon Stevens, who comes over from Baltimore, who's the other side. You don't really know a lot about him here. So a lot of this is just assumption that they're going to be good. You hope that it is because they have good players. And you talk about the guys up front, Quinnen Williams and Will McDonald and all those guys, Quincy as well at the second level. But they also still have to prove that they can be that team that everybody expected them to be.
Yeah, and I think that from at least what I've heard, that the Jets, from their practices, they have had this bravado and this cockiness. I don't want to say like Rex Ryan-level cockiness,
right?
But this maybe attitude that they're going to be a 10-win team. And I like that, and I think that's good because, you know, Aaron Glenn is going to preach that, and you could just see it on the sidelines. I mean, he's the polar opposite of Robert Saleh. Oh,
of course.
Especially as a head coach. Robert 100%. Saleh was more of a deer in the headlights look when his beard was, colored in or whatever, and he looked like he was like, oh, what did I get myself into? Aaron Glenn does not have that look right now. He looks very, very comfortable as the head coach, and he's just ripping guys new ones, and you could just see it.
As he should.
Even though it's the preseason.
He's setting the precedent. In training camp, you saw it earlier. You see it in the preseason games when they make mistakes, whether it's jumping off sides or whatever. He's letting them know that you are going to be held accountable. By the way, training camp coverage on WFAN is brought to you by Geico. Switch and save. Get more with Geico. So I like Aaron Glenn's persona. I like how he's coaching this team. I'm just worried that they're not going to be good enough early. And so we talk about the Giants getting off to a tough start because of the schedule. I think the Jets might have an issue simply because of finding themselves, like continuity, figuring out who they are, what's our identity. It's likely to be the run game and play good defense, but I mean, those things, it's to be determined. And I don't think the last preseason game is going to show us a lot.
Yeah, and the Jets have, to me, with their first year with Glenn, new regime, sort of,
right.
Moving on from the worst failure in the history of New York sports, which of course was Aaron Rodgers' time with the Jets, they have a little bit of a pass this year. I think from the fan base, from just the media, now you want to win more than like one or two games, but I think that the overall scrutiny, like when you look at the locals, the Giants are under the microscope way more as far Russell Wilson, Dart, Dable, Shane,
because
all
of the quarterback.
Stuff. Yeah.
It's because of the coaching and the organizational situation with the head coach and the general manager,
yep.
But also you got this like ridiculous quarterback room with all these like fun pieces. That's the best way to put it.
It's the new season of Love Island.
Right. It's the like all these fun pieces, the Love Island of Giants quarterback room, which is kind of awesome. Because even the guy who's kind of the odd man out, and seemingly, in Tommy DeVito, is the fan favorite.
Yeah, he's interning right now with the Giants.
He comes in the game because we were at it, and it was like, they still love him.
Oh, Tommy is just...
He's the man.
And I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about Tommy DeVito is so beloved. When I met him at the Islander game this winter... It was ridiculous. You would have thought that Taylor Swift was walking the halls. All the kids love him. By the way, this guy, what was the guy's name? Andre Sisco,
the safety.
Am I the only one that when I hear that, I think of Sisco, the singer?
Yes.
From Drew Hill, the thong song. You know what I mean?
Lots of thong talk.
That song. Well, I thought about that in the back of my mind. I'm like, all right, I've already played the thong card here three times. But I don't care because when I hear Sisco, I think of Drew Hill, of course, which was the group.
Right.
And then Sisco that came out of that. That song.
There's nothing wrong with a thong, Tommy.
Absolutely not. You know, even like, didn't Jason Giambi wear one? I think he did for like good luck.
I know Jeter did because he thought Giambi did.
No, he didn't. Jeter said
he wore it one game because he was in a slump and he saw it hanging in Giambi's locker.
The golden thong.
He's told that story. Yes. I'll find it. Jeter has told the story.
What? I gotta find out. Now you gotta tell me, Rami.
Yeah, we'll get to the bottom of whether or not Derek Jeter has worn a thong before, but that thong song was such a huge hit. I was in high school, I want to say. I was like a freshman in high school.
Right.
And it was everywhere.
And
you could not get away from it.
It was such a simple, stupid song.
As all those big hits are. When you look back on it, you're like, these songs are all very, very basic, but whatever it is, the song catches fire and you just never hear the end of it. But yeah, when I hear, what's his name? Andre Sisco. I think of Sisco, Thong Song, and Drew Hill. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Artie's in Brooklyn. What's up, Art?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Artie.
You know, I got a new defense for the Jets.
What's that?
Against the Jets. 11 in the box. They're not going to be able to throw the ball.
I mean, you're probably
you
right,
know,
Artie.
If you're watching the game, and I want this guy to be Jalen Hurts.
Right.
And I see his pass hit the dirt. But it wasn't that one, Tiki. If Sanchez was trying to be nice, he said he had a couple of guys on the flat.
Right.
He was staring right wide open. Wide open. And he would have thrown the ball. So right. In my mind, he's got him.
Right,
like,
he's questioning what he's seeing.
To me, it's more like, it's starting something. I'm gonna run. So even if they're open, if your mind is set on running, you're not ready to throw the ball.
No,
even
you're
if
right.
the guy's staring wide open, he's just staring at him.
Right.
That's one. And then the other thing is here's my question. Okay, I don't know this kid. The kid that they undrafted, the kid from Missouri, he actually looked good. If so happens that Taylor is better than Fields. In what he sees, does Glenn have the permission, or whatever you want to call
right.
it, to start Taylor over Fields? Thanks for taking a call, man.
I appreciate you, Artie. I don't see that happening because, first of all, Tyrod Taylor is hurt right
He's
now.
Hurt. Yeah.
And I guess it's not that big of a deal, but it could be.
Mm.
You just don't know.
Tyrod often injured, too.
And I think... Tanner Engstrand, who is the offensive coordinator, he wants this team to be a run kind of first team. And so Justin Fields simply helps you do that better because now you have to account for the sixth skill position player in the run game, and that's hard to do for defenses. Like, there were a couple of plays in this game where the Giants had one extra coming off the side, you know, blitzing a corner. Kayvon Thibodeau, they're all like smashing down to get into the run. If they're doing like a zone read there, Justin Fields runs for 50 yards because you just sell out to stop the run against the Jets, and all of a sudden quarterback pulls that ball. He's got nothing but green space. They're not doing that yet. They're not allowing him to do that yet. But when they start doing that, he can do that better than most quarterbacks in the NFL. You know, save for Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen anymore. He doesn't really do that much anymore. So Tyrod Taylor doesn't give you that ability. Now, what he was talking about was the kid Brady Cook. That kid looks good.
Yeah.
He throws the ball confidently.
Yeah, Martinez threw the ball well, too.
Absolutely.
But you're also coming in after a guy that
right.
couldn't throw the ball 2 yards right. to the right of him, so you almost look better
right.
based on what you've seen earlier. Fields. By the way, if you want Jameis Winston, we could trade him to the Jets. You know, we have four quarterbacks.
You're joking, but it feels like the Giants have a surplus.
Well, because I think the joke's going to be... Tommy is obviously interning with the Giants. If they part ways with him, if his internship runs out, the Jets should just pick up Tommy DeVito. Doesn't even have to move. He could still live in Hoboken, right. and he could just hang out, you know, and now he go to Florham Park. Can't have that happen, though.
And much like Jackson Dart, Adrian Martinez was crushing third stringers.
Well, that...
Jackson Dart is... I mean...
Well, hold on a second. Tiki's going to give you the really well-thought-out, you know, sports opinion like John Schmelk or Paul DeTino just threw him something on pre and post there. That was a shot from Rami. Rami and Paul that are working with us today are both Jet fans, and they're sitting back there, and they're hearing us guffawing over our bay, Jackson Dart. And then when we got to Justin Fields, who has not played... Well,
no,
in the preseason.
Okay, I agree. Right. Yes.
But you felt the need to say, well, why is Dart performing against third stringers? We got him in Canton. And when Fields is playing
not
backups,
Fields, I said Adrian Martinez
oh,
is doing
Martinez,
the same thing.
I apologize. Martinez. Yeah. And I watched Martinez at college. He's obviously not the prospect Jackson
Dart. He stinks. Yeah.
Yeah. Nor are the Jet fans. Well, I think the majority of Jet fans believe the quarterback of the future is not on the team.
Correct.
Is that a fair statement?
That is correct.
Yes. You could still have a good year this year.
It makes for a weird season because
you
want success in Aaron Glenn's first year, but you're also saying, how are we going to get our quarterback?
If you win a bunch of games.
If you win a bunch of games.
That's the problem.
Right, and this is going to be like a pseudo wildcat option team the entire year. Fields is going to throw, 15 passes a game, maybe?
Maybe,
right?
Maybe.
And again, that the Wildcat
can work.
That
being said, he has had some games in his career where he's thrown the ball a ton and been hugely successful, but it's not consistent.
But do you think that's going to happen? And
I don't. It doesn't feel like that's what the plan is.
Right.
Granted,
right.
And I have no idea what the plan is,
I agree
but
with
it doesn't
that.
Feel like
and
that's
And I think
what
most
the plan
Jets
is.
Fans agree with that.
Right.
Let's go to Dave in Babylon.
On that. Now, with the Jets, the situation is not alarming, but it is concerning right now because if, you know, they have hitched their wagon to Justin Fields. The contract isn't anything crazy, but the contract is enough where he's QB1 no matter what. And Tyrod Taylor had the procedure where he's out for a little while. And, you know, these guys like Martinez and Cook, you know, they let them throw the ball in the preseason game. But those guys aren't NFL quarterbacks that you're going to win anything with. I do feel, and I'll say this again, I do feel like Justin Fields is a athletic, serviceable quarterback that the Jets can win some games with. Playoffs, probably not. But I also am not reading so much into the 5 passes he threw over the weekend, the play calls, the play call designs, to write him off and say he can't throw, he's not going to be a passer, it's not going to work, there is no passing game. If you know that, and I know that, again, Aaron Glenn knows that, Tanner Engstrom knows that. The Jets know that. They know his skill set. They've been working with him for months. They are going to get him into the best plays and formations and calling the best plays to utilize his skill set. Jonah is in Manhattan on the Fan next. Hello, Jonah.
Hey, Keith. How you doing, man?
I'm all right. You know, hanging out, talking sports. Appreciate you calling. What you thinking about?
I'm thinking about Justin Fields. I got to be an optimist for him because it doesn't seem like too many others are.
Yeah, I'm with you. Go on.
So I look back at his first year in Chicago. The team wins 3 years, but that year he was flashy. He made these crazy runs every week, but he didn't have a real receiver on the team, didn't have an offensive line, didn't have a defense. Then in year two, they had the number one pick. They trade it. They get DJ Moore in that deal. He has a good receiver. The offense actually looks like something with the real receiver. Fields shows that he can win games, but they didn't have a great defense or a great offensive line that year either. I think the team won 7 games that year. So then they trade into Pittsburgh, and then after Russell Wilson gets hurt, they throw him into the fire. He wins. He starts out, I think, 4-0. I think he went 4-2. He had a real defense, and he looked good. And he had I think he had a real offensive line. So now with the Jets, I think he could have a good offensive line. He has a good defense and a good receiver. So it's not like things are set up to fail in New York for him. I think he could do well as a Jet.
Yeah, I'm following along with you. You know, one thing I'll add is like when he did get DJ Moore, I watched a couple games where him and DJ Moore lit it up. That's why I have a hard time with people saying he can't throw the ball. He's not Joe Burrow, as I've watched Joe Burrow on the screen tonight. He's also not Jaden Daniels, but he is an athletic quarterback that can make all the throws. He's just got to be in the right offense. It's the first year, and I think we got to be optimistic about what they're going to be and what they're trying to do. They are going to establish the run. They have three running backs. They're going to run him. They are going to get teams off balance with how they run the ball and the threat of him running the ball, where it's not going to be so hard for him to hit a wide-open Garrett Wilson, who he went to Ohio State with. Now, I don't think that they really have a strong tight end room, and I don't think that they really have too many other great options at receiver outside of Garrett Wilson. So why would we be looking for them to have much of a passing attack anyway? Why would we be looking for them to have a drop back passing game? Like, that's not what they're going to be built off of in year one. I think we got to kind of pump our brakes a little bit. And like you said, be optimistic about the athleticism and the intangibles and, what we're going to get out of Aaron Glenn in the first year with the Jets. We have no idea, but I think they're going to be better run, better coach, better managed. And I think the game manager at quarterback is Justin Fields, who will manage the game, but then will also give you some highlight reel plays with his legs and then maybe have some deep throws to Garrett Wilson when they get him open.
I agree. Also, the play action, because they brought over from Detroit Tanner Engstrand, so it's going to be run and play actions. And so that could get the defense off balance.
Yep.
Yes, screens, play action, and the running game. So
Breece Hall. Breece Hall is probably going to be the number two wide receiver behind Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, he's a good dual threat running back. He's one of the best receiving running backs in the league. And with the play action and the off balanceness, he can also run if no one's open. So I think he's a good fit, and they have the right coordinator and right coach for him.
Yeah, it's year one. There's just so much to be seen. No one can put their finger on it through two preseason games. But I did like the first showing where he led the team down, and when there was nothing there, he took off running, and the receiver kind of deked the corner and chased him into the back of the end zone, and he ran in. I think that they're going to make some plays, man, and I don't think that they're going to force a round peg into a square hole. I think that they know who Justin Fields is. Aaron Glenn coached against him, Detroit versus Chicago. I think they specifically went out to get him and want to work with him and help him become a better passing quarterback, but they're not going to force him to be Patrick Mahomes. They're not going to force him to be Justin Herbert. They're gonna work on his skill set. I think he's going to be getting rid of the ball quickly. I think there's going to be a lot of run game play action. I think there's going to be a lot of underneath passes, quick reads, get the ball out of his hands. He's not going to be asked to do what people think he's going to be asked to do.
Yep, agree. I think 100% a good fit, and they're not, like you said, they're not looking for him to go out of his comfort zone. That's why they're going to be running the ball. So they're going to try to develop him. It's not like they're saying, "Oh, we got star quarterback here," because he hasn't been a star quarterback. But they're going to try to develop him into a good leader and a good quarterback. And I think that's a reason to be optimistic.
Yeah, and it's low risk. If it doesn't work out, then they're not married to him long term. They can go find somebody else. Jonah, thank you for the call. 888-808-1019. I just think that they did not want to go the Aaron Rodgers route. And I talk so much about they watched the film. They cut on the film. Aaron Glenn said, yeah, we're going to pour over the film. They watched every play of every Jets game last year and decided it'd be best to go in another direction. And I think that they're right. And I think week one, they are going to have an opportunity to look right at Aaron Rodgers and blitz him and sack him and show people this guy is old. This guy can't move. He's not what he used to be. They are not going to ask Justin Fields to be Aaron Rodgers. The Jets defense or the Jets offense is going to look a lot different. And the Jets defense should be decent as well. Now, have they been overhyped over the years? Sure. But they have a lot of solid players over there. So I think their whole scheme, their whole approach is going to be play good defense, run the ball, control the clock, kill the clock, possession, time of possession, win games like that. Where when they get into short yardage, when they get into goal line, Justin Fields is unstoppable in those moments. Like, he's going to be able to put his head down and get you 1 yard, 2 yards. He's not going to be asked to throw the ball 40, 50 times a game like Dak Prescott. It's just, it's a different type of quarterback skill set that Jets fans are going to see. You're also not watching Zach Wilson or Mike White or Tim Boyle. Like, I know he missed some easy passes over the weekend, but like, he's got to be able to complete these screens, these quick passes, these smoke routes, these tunnel screens, these quick get the ball out of your hands 5 yards, 10 yards, nothing more than that. He's got to hit those guys in the numbers every single time with that, and not think so much. It's got to be natural. It's got to be second nature.
Come on, man. We talked about this. It's like, you know, walk-up music, getting into the batter's box, coming out of a tunnel. You can't hit me with that stuff. I'm not on a date. You know, I'm not sitting there with my wife having a glass of what, John Mayer? No. We'll get back to the Yanks and Met calls here. But first, a little NFL talk on the Fan, brought to you by Paramount Plus. Well, you can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. So watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com. All right. So, you know, I love the approach so far by Aaron Glenn. Now, there's an expiration point on that. We're nowhere near it. It's his first year. It is a losing culture. You don't fumigate that stench and eradicate that mess in 1 week or one camp. Doesn't happen. You plant the seeds, you get the guys that you don't believe in or don't have the work ethic or the values. Slowly they get phased out. You get your guys and you look up, and if all is well and things are going right, by the middle of the season in year one, we'll have an early sense if this thing is going to, if it's trending at least favorably. Not if it's going to work, that would be a quick read. But at least if it's like, okay, yeah, as we thought, penalties down maybe a little bit. Jets running the ball, Jets more competitive, no noise. But I'll tell you this. This man can never win a game as the head coach of the Jets in 3 years. And there is nobody that's going to play him at a press conference. This man is razor sharp. So he's asked about the concerns, which obviously is a very good question. Jets have not thrown the ball well during the summer at all. And, you know, he's asked about, you know, can you win this way? And I paraphrase, but can you win this way? And, you know, how far can the running game take you when you're overly reliant? I'm just kind of inserting that. But that was the gist of what the reporter, was it Cimini, by the way? Or was it, I don't even know if we found
out. I'm not sure who it was, but I have the clip here.
All right, well, let me set it up. Okay. So he's asked about the passing and the run and the lack of passing so far and the exchange, and it's just beyond brilliant. And the thing is, he doesn't know that this question's coming. So this is a man who is quick on his feet and is able to immediately, and we'll play in a moment, able to get right back to his point and not get taken off the road by a reporter trying to get to another point. Check it out.
Is there any concern about your ability to go downfield and whatnot?
Who says it's a passing lead?
Isn't that
kind of... The team that won the Super Bowl, what were they in passing? 29th.
Yeah.
What were they in running? First.
Defense, obviously, but...
Well, we talked about offense.
Oh, that's my guy. I'm going to say it all year. AG ain't playing. So, and I'm not even saying that the reporter was trying to walk him into a story. No, I don't think that was necessarily it. Yeah, good question. I mean, they've been very benign throwing the ball. They haven't showed a whole lot, and they got to get another receiver. They have to get another receiver outside of Garrett Wilson, even though they're going to try to run it 30-plus times. But I love the way that went down. So the starting point is, hey, listen, this is a passing league. You know, are you going to be able to get by? Oh, who says it's a passing league? Kansas City was 29th. They won the championship. And now since the reporter, and no disrespect to the reporter, again, good question, with merit. Now the reporter, quick on his feet, is like, well, you know, the Chiefs also had, you know, defense and was getting into other elements of what they do well. And Aaron's like, we're talking about offense. That's just good. That is really, really well done. And, you know, I talk about Aaron Boone being able to mitigate stories and tension and problems. You know, I think it's going to be a little bit, maybe, I think Aaron's going to be a little bit more, maybe confrontational is a little strong, but you know what I mean? Maybe a little bit more than Boone. But I the early sign for me from Aaron is that, I'm not surprised because he played here, is that he gets it. He knows what you want. He knows what is expected. And there's just no BS, man. You know, you got to understand, it's just too easy to say well, he played for Parcells, and he's going to be this, that, the other thing. Okay, well, first of all, what I love about him is that, yeah, he did play for Parcells, but he played for the Jets when they were at their absolute lowest point, and then Parcells came in, and he was able to see. Now, he's not necessarily processing that as a head coach when he's a 24-year-old corner and kick returner, but obviously, based on what he's done with his life work here, the game of football, even if he didn't know it at the time, he always had aspirations to learn the game on a deeper level, right? Same with Girardi when Joe was catching for the Yankees and the Cubs. That's why he's a that's why he was a manager. Same with Joe Torre back in the day. So I just think that there's a deep level of understanding how to, like, what is the first step to just get this thing moving positively, favorably? Just get a little traction. We're not asking for 11 wins. Can we just get competent football? Can we decrease the penalties? Which by far, you know, so far they haven't. I get that. And that's why it doesn't happen in one camp. But I love that answer. I absolutely loved it. I mean, you know, basically, how are you going to win without a passing attack? Kansas City won the championship. They didn't really pass 29th. Yeah, but they had this. We're talking about offense. Next question. That's great.